99.3 FM Nigeria Info. Time check is 15 minutes to 4 p.m. And every Friday, you know, it's time for Ideas with Ayobe. On the show today, Ayobe will be speaking with Barrister Akaraiwe, Senior Advocate of Nigeria, and he will be explaining the role of elections petitions in supporting integrity of electoral systems. And he would share ideas on what is involved with regards to time limits and what exactly happens in the interim. So I am very certain that you would like to pay attention, because you're definitely going to learn a lot from this conversation. Good afternoon, Ayobe. Welcome to the show.
Afternoon, Chukwudi, and thank you very much for that very comprehensive introduction. And welcome also to Ikeazo Akaraiwe, Senior Advocate of Nigeria.
Oh, thank you, Ayo. So nice to be back on the program.
Well, as I said, you're our favorite out-of-town silk. So with that, let's get straight to it, because we know that INEC, the Independent National Electoral Commission, has got extensive powers when it comes to elections. And in fact, independence is part of its name. But and in fact, under Section 95(1) of the Electoral Act 2022, INEC even has the right to set aside any results declared within 7 days if it, that is INEC itself, determines that that declaration of results or return was not made voluntarily or was made contrary to the provisions of the law or the regulations and guidelines and manual for the election. So if INEC has the power to review its own decisions, what is the thinking behind the idea of allowing the courts or the election petition tribunals to also further review what INEC has done?
I believe that the thinking behind allowing the courts to also review the decisions of INEC is to stop arbitrariness. Okay. Or prevent arbitrariness. Human nature being what it is, it becomes necessary to have one layer of authority, judicial authority, to oversee such decisions. But I think also, very importantly, is to assuage the feelings of the aggrieved, those who may not be in agreement with the decisions of INEC. Should have a chance to air their grievances. If there was no chance, there'll be a feeling of injustice, even where there was no injustice. And the alternative could be chaos, self-help. So the idea, the thinking behind allowing the courts to also review the decisions of INEC is to prevent a breakdown of law and order. The average man would, having had his day in court, would say, well, even if I lost, even though I lost, at least I had a chance to vent my grievances.
And of course, Ike, there's, apart from, I mean, it's not just a matter of being able to have their say or vent their feelings. There's also the chance that they may actually be heard, because it's one thing to be, you know, in a crowd of angry party agents trying to shout at the returning officer or whatever it is. And the more structured format of the election petition tribunal, where counsel have the right to call witnesses and to make their arguments about why a return should be set aside or not.
Yes, exactly. Once that happens and the candidate is given the opportunity to make his argument, the feeling is always that I've been heard. And who knows, the candidate may even be able to prove that there has been some injustice or some arbitrariness.
Okay.
And also, it's really essential that the courts review whatever INEC does. It makes for peace at the end of the day in the society.
And there's also the situation that INEC does not have the right to reject a nomination on the ground of some perceived lack of qualification. For example, whether the person, if the person claims to be a Nigerian or the person claims to have been educated up to the level of school leaving certificate, INEC doesn't have the right to say you are not a Nigerian. It has to accept it. So it's as though it's only the courts that can set aside any nomination that is invalid for reasons of lack of qualification.
Right.
Now, by section 285(6) of the Constitution as altered, the Constitution fixes time limits for determining election petitions. And you know, you remember, EK, that there had been previous attempts to limit the time for election litigation, and those had been struck down by the Supreme Court. Now the Constitution has been amended. What's the difference, and what are the time limits for hearing disposing of election petitions?
I think the reason the Supreme Court struck down the previous time limit was because those limits were enshrined in the Electoral Act, and the Electoral Act and the sections so enshrined in them was considered unconstitutional.
Okay.
It limits on fair hearing, and any citizen should be able to have his case heard and not be circumscribed to perhaps a couple of days. But now that the Constitution has been amended and the time limits have been written into the Constitution, that's the crucial difference. For example, Section 2856, Section 2855 gives 3 weeks within which to file your petition, 3 weeks from the date of the declaration of the results.
Okay.
And then subsection 6 gives the election tribunal 180 days from the date of the filing of the petition to deliver its judgment in writing, and then gives the Court of Appeal 60 days from the date of the delivery of the judgment of the tribunal, or in the case of the presidential elections, the Court of Appeal, 60 days to hear and dispose of the appeals. Now,
so sorry, with the because the presidential election tribunal is in the Court of Appeal, and the appeal from there goes to the Supreme Court.
Supreme Court, yes.
So the Court of Appeal has 180 days to hear the presidential election petition.
Precisely.
And then another 60 days for an appeal to the Supreme Court.
The Court of Appeal, acting as a court of first instance,
yes,
with respect to presidential elections, tribunals, has 180 days to hear the case.
Yes.
And then the Supreme Court, acting as the Court of Appeal,
or the final appellate.
yes, the final appellate court has 60 days to hear any complaints arising from the presidential elections. Because remember that the Court of Appeal is actually an election petition tribunal with respect to the presidential elections.
But it's an appeal tribunal with respect to all the other elections.
All the other elections, exactly.
And so if it comes to the Court of Appeal and there's a limit, it has 60 days to hear an appeal, is there further appeal to the Supreme Court? And is there a limit for that?
Yes. To appeal to the Supreme Court, there is no further appeal to the Supreme Court with respect to some of... Oh, no. I'm getting that wrong.
Oh, no, that's not possible.
As long as it is an appeal, the appellate tribunal has 60 days.
Oh, okay. Now,
yes, the tribunal of first instance, 180 days.
Okay. Now, what I think people will be worried about, particularly with regard to some of the delays that we've heard in respect of trying to serve people, is that what happens if an election petition is not heard and determined in the time limited by the Constitution? Because, if there's a time limit, can the respondent to that petition particularly if they have won and they've already been sworn in and they've taken office, can they deliberately delay the hearing so that time runs out? And also, I'd like you to think about the fact, Ike, that the larger the constituency, the more difficult it is to prove a case that depends on evidence from individual polling units. I mean, as a youngster, I did election petitions relating to the Plateau State House of Assembly. And we were calling people from individual polling units. And but then by the time you get to the governorship petitions, again, you have the problem of polling units. But when you're talking about the whole country, it's pretty difficult, isn't it? So what happens if the time runs out?
Yes, I have been in such situations where the time ran out. Mm-hmm. And that was with respect to the last elections. And that was it. If the time runs out, it has run out. And your appeal or your case, as the case may be, fails on that ground. It becomes inchoate.
So how can the respondent be prevented from delaying the hearing or allowing the time to run out?
Yes. That is where the judges as dominus litis.
Well, can you translate that to English for the laymen among us?
Yes. That's where the judges have to have mastery over their courts. They have to be in control of their courts. The Latin phrase I just used, in control of your courts, okay. In dominion of your courts. A judge should be able to stop waste of time, long-winded cross-examination, and the like, knowing that he has 180 days or 60 days, well, as the case may be. But I think delays are more likely at the first stage,
yes.
where witnesses are called and so on. And then knowing that at the end of the day, the judges, you know, are going to be accused of all kinds of things.
They're already being accused of all kinds of things.
Being so if the cases are not concluded within 180 days, Nigerians are quick to lay the blame with the judge. So I feel so sorry for them, but that should be sufficient motivation for any judge to be in control of his court and to insist, no, you've called 11 witnesses on this point. Why would you want to call a 12th?
Okay.
To see what the other 11 said.
Because, Ike, you know, although the advice that parties who are dissatisfied with results declared by INEC, that they should go to court, it had been met with derision in some quarters. But it's a fact, isn't it, that there are some areas where election tribunals do have to exercise some kind of discretion, which is to say that what the judge actually thinks, especially when it comes to things like determining whether any irregularities or non-compliance. Of course, you have to prove that there's been irregularity or non-compliance, but you also have to prove that it substantially affected the results of the election. Isn't that a subjective decision which is left to the judges, or are there objective criteria by which a judge can say this is a substantial non-compliance, substantial enough to affect the result of the election?
I think it is actually left to the discretion of the courts, but the discretion is exercised judicially and judiciously. For example, if a person lost an election with 3,600 votes and the person brings a polling unit where there was some irregularity and the polling unit is only 500 votes. Now, if all those 500 votes were handed over to the person complaining, it shouldn't change the result of the election. So there is some criteria, but the criteria is so obvious. If the complaint is with respect to 5,000 votes, and the difference in votes between the declared winner and the loser is 3,600 votes, definitely the fact that there are 5,000 votes in contention is enough criteria for the judge to set aside the decision of in it.
Yes.
So I see it's not as if the criteria is black and white, but it's common sense.
Okay.
And as the judges evaluate the evidence, they say, well, there are so many votes in contention, and if these votes were not in contention, the results could have gone either way. Mm-hmm. And then they set it aside. But I don't know why Nigerians, just to refer to what you said about Nigerians greeting the demand to go to court, the statement to go to court with derision. I don't know why, because really, even if that was meant sarcastically, but that's the court is actually the final arbiter.
I mean, there's nowhere else to go anyway if you don't go to the court. I mean, or is there any other way of getting a result lawfully set aside?
I think what many Nigerians felt was, oh, you guys seem to be have the courts in your pocket. That's why you're asking us to go to court. But I really would implore Nigerians to be more respectful of the court. So there's a lot of bad news out of the court, but these are human beings, and they're not nearly half that bad. These people are doing their best under the most onerous conditions. Because we call them my lord, many people think they are sitting on a mountain of gold. The conditions are tough, and they are doing their best. And we should spare them some slack, actually.
I want to thank you so much, Ike, for that closing statement. And as you said, there isn't anywhere else to go anyway. So let's give them let's see and let's try and follow the proceedings and hope that there is some really first class judicial reporting so that we can all see what happened. Thank you so much for joining us on Ideas. I want to just say that from now on, we're not going to be coming every week. We're going to be coming every 2 weeks. So we leave you to enjoy your Easter and your Good Friday in peace without being bothered by Ideas. But we'll be back after that.